Today is the Tirubhavatitya of Srila Narada Muni, who appeared in this world in Gaur Lila as Srivas Thakur. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivas Thakur Bhaktavrinda Srivas Thakur Ki Bhakta Avatar Narada Muni Ki. So to glorify Srivas Thakur on this most auspicious day, we want to glorify Srivas Thakur in connection with Radha and Krishna, the gopis and Gaur Lila. So this verse that we will be attempting to speak on by the mercy of Srila Prabhupada, and by speaking on this verse, we will be glorifying Srivas Thakur on his disappearance day. And he will be very pleased if everyone very attentively listens to this verse, and you'll find out why in a few moments. So we should read the verse. This is Srimad Bhagavatam, Venugita. Chapter 21, 10th canto. This is by the Rasik Vaishnavas. They consider that this verse is the most important verse of the Srimad Bhagavatam in terms of Ras. There are four different verses describing the beautiful transcendental form of the Lord. One spoken by the Nagapatnis, one spoken by the Dvijapatnis, one spoken by Lord Brahma, and this verse spoken by the Brajagopis. It's a very important verse to be memorized if possible. And we'll hear about the connection of Srivas Thakur in this verse after we begin. Spoken by the Brajagopis and separation from Krishna, Purva Rag. Parhapitam Natavaravapu Karnayo karnikaram vidbradvasa kanaka kapisham vajyantim chamalam randran venoradara sudda yapurayan gopabrinde brinda ranyam sapara ramanam pravishad gita kirti. Translation: wearing a peacock feather ornament upon his head, blue karnikara flowers on his ears, a yellow garment as brilliant as gold, and the Vaijayanti garland, Lord Krishna exhibited his transcendental form as the greatest of dancers. As he entered the forest of Vrindavan, beautifying it with the marks of his footprints, Krishna filled the holes of his flute with the nectar of his lips, and the coward boys sang his glories. Purport. The gopis remembered all the transcendental qualities of Krishna mentioned in this verse, Krishna's artful way of dressing, and the beautiful blue flowers placed over Krishna's ears excited the gopis' romantic desires. And as Krishna poured the nectar of his flute, of his lips into the flute, the gopis simply lost themselves in ecstatic love for Krishna. The gopis lost it. Lost for Krishna. Oman Gyana Timurandasya Gnanjana Shalakaya. Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasti Gaura Bhaktavinda Srivas Thakur Tirubhavatiti Ki. Before we begin, we should take a moment out to pray to Srila Narada Muni, who's the distributor of bhakti around the world through his Narada Bhakti Sutras, Narada Pancharatra. Narada Bhakti Sutras, there's two books actually. They're available also in English. So Narada Muni came as Srivas Thakur also to distribute bhakti. And this particular pastime in Chaitanya Mangal, this is called Nittai Gaur Pratam Milan. Nittai Gaur Pratam Milan. The first time that Lord Chaitanya met Nityananda. As I mentioned in class yesterday, Nityananda is about 25 years older than Lord Chaitanya. When Nityananda appeared in Eka Chakradham, he could understand that Gauranga Mahaprabhu was about to appear, but he had not appeared yet, or just appearing. So then he knew that Gauranga would go through his educational leela, Nimai Pandit leela, and it would be about 20 years before Gauranga would begin his Sankirtan mission. And that's when Nittai was needed as one of the Panchatattva. So 20 years before the appearance of Gauranga, Nityananda appeared. And then he went and he traveled as one sannyasi for 20 years all over India. And he came to Navadvipa, and Nittai hid himself in the home of Nandanacharya. No one knew that Nityananda had arrived in Mayapur Navadvip Dham. Gauranga knew. Krishna knows the heart of Balaram. Gauranga knows the heart of Nittai. They are inseparable in Sakyaras. Of course, Nityananda and Balaram are both in the mood of Sakyaras, mixed with Vatsalya, parental mood of protection, caring, nourishment, and also Dasya. These three bhavas are mixing in the heart of Balaram and Nittai. Gauranga said, a great personality has come to Navadvip. In fact, he's actually in Mayapur. A very wonderful, extraordinary personality. And no one knew who that personality was. No one met him. No one heard about him. He appeared in Ekachakra, 5 hours away, 6 hours away from Navadvip. He appeared 40 years before. He's lost wandering around India for 20 years in his own bhavas. No one knew. Who is this Nittai? Who is this Nityananda? Everyone, Lord Chaitanya dispersed his devotees to search all of Navadvip, find this great personality. And they looked everywhere. They couldn't find. Then Gauranga said, I'll show you. I know where he is. I know where he's hiding. He's hiding in the house of Nandanacharya. So they all gathered together in Mahaprabhu Badi, Mahaprabhu's house. Big kirtan party. In procession from not very far. Nandanacharya's house is about 500 meters away from ISKCON, going towards Hular Ghat. They came in kirtan, they came into the house of Nandanacharya, and then Vishambhar, who is Lord Chaitanya, another name, Nimai Pandit, Vishambhar, Gauranga, Lord Chaitanya, different names. In his young, before sannyas, Lord Chaitanya was known as Vishwambar, Sachinandan, Sachinandan, Vishwambar, Nimai Pandit, and Prabhu. And after sannyas, then he was known as Mahaprabhu, Gauranga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. These names generally came later. This is how it's described by Vrindavan Das Thakur. So Vishwambar, he came and he saw Nittai. This is Nittai Gaur Pratam Milan, first meeting of Vishwambar. Vishwambar has been existing in this world for 20 years without his brother. Krishna has been separated for 20 years from Balaram. Gauranga, Vishwambar is Krishna. Nityananda is Balaram. They haven't seen each other for 20 years. And their hearts are tied up in the tightest bondage of love. But separated. This is the Leela. So when they saw each other, Nitai! Gaur! They became stunned. Stamba. Frozen, immobile, they could not move. Nityananda was totally silent. And with his eyes, Nityananda, with his eyes, he was drinking the beautiful, the wonderful, beautiful form of Gauranga. He was drinking that form through his eyes. And it appeared, Vrindavan Das Thakur is saying, it appeared that Nittai was, with his tongue that he was licking, he was licking the body of the Lord with his tongue and drinking the beautiful form of Gauranga Vishwambar with his eyes. And with his ears, he was hearing the Lord. And with his hands, he was embracing, and arms, he was embracing the Lord. Although they're separated and just looking. And then Gauranga understood. And everyone was astonished. All the devotees were astonished. Who is this person? This Nittai Gaur Pratham Milan. The first meeting of Gaur Nittai. He's a very tall figure, very beautiful. Lotus eyes and long black hair and beautiful blue shining dhoti. Powerful arms. He's white as a, he's white like a moon, like a rain, like the moon. So effulgent. So powerful. So much prema in his face and his form. Who is he? No one knew the identity of Nittai. The mahima, the glories, the characteristics. Who is he? The tattva. So then, Mahaprabhu, he signaled. He signaled. He made a signal. It means he didn't speak. He signaled to Srivas Thakur, who is none other than Narada Muni. He said, he gave a signal. And Srivas Thakur, he understood from that movement of Gauranga's eyes that Gauranga wants me to glorify the beauty of Krishna. He wants me to recite verses from the Srimad Bhagavatam because Srivas Thakur is Srivas Pandit. He's a pandit. He's a Brahmin. He's a scholar. He's Vidvan. He knows his Shastras inside and out. Every day he was speaking on Bhagavatam. And he is one with the heart of Mahaprabhu, his Pancha Tattva, Sri Krishna Chaitanya. Of Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar, Srivastati. They're five Pancha, they're five limbs of the body. It's one body with five limbs. So your arm knows about your leg, and your leg knows about your arm. It's all connected, synergistic. When Gauranga looked, because Nittai is Balaram. A Nittai is stunned in ecstatic bliss looking at the beauty of Gauranga, who is Krishna. Nittai is not seeing Gauranga as Radharani. Nittai is seeing Gauranga as, this is my Krishna, my Chotabai. For 20 years I haven't seen him. Oh, he's so beautiful. Balaram loved Krishna. He loved everything. He loved his body. He loved his words. He loved his actions. Everything. So understanding the heart and mind of his brother, Nittai, Balaram, then he signaled to Srivas. Then Srivas, because what is happening is that Nittai is totally absorbed in the transcendental, unlimited beauty of Gauranga, Sri Krishna. Nittai is relishing that beauty with all of his senses. So then what does Gauranga indicate to Srivas? In his glance, he says, Srivas, pick out, choose the best verse. Choose the best verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam. From all the 18,000 verses, pick out the best verse that best perfectly describes the beauty of Krishna's form, of my form. Because my brother is relishing my form. Let's enhance his relish. Let's increase his taste. Let's magnify his ecstasy so that everyone will know what a great devotee he is and who he actually is. That, wait a minute, he's not an avadut. He's not a sannyasi. He's not a wandering vairagi, mendicant. He's God. He's Balaram. So this is how we're glorifying Srivas Thakur today, because when that signal from the eyes with this message was given to Srivas, then he was thinking, yes, yes, 18,000 verses. He's processing, going through his hard drive. Where is it? Let's search, 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 search. Boom! Barhapitam. This verse. Srivas spoke this verse. This is Chaitanya Bhagavat, if you want the Praman. He spoke this verse. And when Nittai heard this verse describing the unbelievable beauty of Krishna from the viewpoint of the gopis, the gopis' viewpoint is Mahabhav Drishti, Mahabhav Netra. You see according to your bhav. Atmanam Manyate Jagat. Atmanam Manyate Jagat. One considers and thinks of the universe according to his own bhav, his own experience. Viewpoint. If he's prejudiced, if he's suspicious, he has a suspicious bhav, then he's suspicious of everyone. Oh, I think my uncle's a thief. I think my brother's a thief. I think everybody's a thief. Because he's suspicious. This verse was spoken by Srivas. And when Nittai heard this verse, what happened? What did Nittai do? Remember, Nittai is staring at Gauranga. Oh, Gauranga. He can't speak. He's stunned into silence. Stumba. And when he heard this verse, when this verse entered the ears of Nittai, it cracked, it exploded his heart. Ha, Krishna! He said, Ha, Krishna! And he fell unconscious on the floor. All Ashtasaptic bhavs registered in his trembling. Choked voice, trembling, tears rushing out of his eyes, perspiration, hair standing, and then becoming stunned. And all the devotees, with Mahaprabhu, they saw this amazing display of ecstatic transcendental love. They also became astonished. Who is this? And then Mahaprabhu said, more verses, Srivas. Then he spoke more verses. And then Lord Chaitanya, then Nityananda stood up from his stupor, from his ecstatic trance of rapture. He stood up and he started crying, oh, Krishna! And then he started roaring like 1,000 maddened elephants. Ah! And the sound of Nittai, it was cracking the universe. He started running here and there, pulling his clothes off. And the devotees, wow, what's happening? This is Nittai Gaur Pratam Milan. The first meeting of Nittai Gaur. That's what I call starting things off with a bang. An American expression. Start off with a bang. In other words, start off on the top and go work your way down. So by this arrangement, through the medium of Srivas Thakur, who is Bhaktavatar, Srivas Thakur, he taught all the devotees, by speaking this verse from Bhagavatam, he announced and he proclaimed the identity of Nittai to all the assembled devotees. Because then he understood, this type of ecstatic display, this must be Balaram. This must be the Nityananda that we heard about from Advaita. Advaita would sometimes mention about Nityananda Avadhut. This is that Nityananda Avadhut. This Prem, he's distributor of the Prem. He's the main distributor. The first time we meet him, he's in ecstatic bliss, completely out of control. And that's what he's going to distribute to the world. Total prema. Complete absolute takeover, where people will become mad in Krishna prema. And he's showing the example himself. Nityananda is distributor of prema. So, remembering Srivas Thakur, praying for his mercy, praying for the mercy of Narada Muni and Nittai and Gauranga and the Audharya Kripa, we will try to venture forth and speak something about this verse which came out of the mouth of Srivas Thakur 500 years ago in Nandanacharya's house. The verse itself was spoken by the Braja Gopis. They're in Purva Rag. They're young. They're very young. They haven't met Krishna yet. But they're seeing him time to time. This is called Venogit. Venogit. Chapter 21 of 10th Canto. Because the gopis, they hear the sound of Krishna's flute and they become totally ecstatic. Oh, when will we meet this beautiful boy? When will he ever become our lover? Oh, they're just young girls. They're developing. They haven't met intimately. They actually haven't formally spoken to Krishna or even met him. Purva Rag. Intense love. Loving attachment that develops and grows and manifests and expands in the heart even before one meets personally the lover. The gopis, they're saying here, they're glorifying, they're saying Krishna Barhapitam. First they're glorifying Krishna's Barha. He's decorated with a peacock feather on his turban. This is a very curious thing to our eyes. A feather is dirty. Hair, nails, feathers, stool, they are all contaminated substances. If they touch food or your body, you must bathe. Reject that food and cook again. A bird feather is stool. It is contaminated. A feather on his turban. Do you think that Narayan would ever do such a thing? Do you think Ramachandra would ever do... Maryada Avatar? Ramachandra, would he ever put a dirty, filthy feather on his head? Impossible. Because it's against the rules. It's against the regulation. How did that peacock feather get there? When did Krishna start wearing it? Was he born with it? Was it stuck in his hair when he came out? No. One day, Krishna went into the forest. This is, of course, explained in the same chapter, 21, a few verses later. And when Krishna went into the forest, the peacocks, they surrounded Krishna and they asked him, say, Krishna, can you please play your flute? We would like to dance. And as you must be knowing, being Indian, peacocks are very expert at dancing. Even in the Ras Leela troops of Vrindavan, Fata Krishna, Hargovind, and all the troops, there's one, the most attractive performance that they do is called the peacock feather dance, where Krishna comes out on the stage and he has these two handles and he has these entire thousands of peacock feathers making a, I guess you could say 180 degrees. It's 180 degrees. Like you take a circle and cut it in half, that's 180 degrees. And it's all peacock feathers. He stands there, it's like he looks like he's a peacock. And these are his fanned feathers, expanded feathers. You see the peacock. The peacock's in the middle and you follow. So and there's some handles to hold on to it. And he comes out on the stage and they're playing music and they're singing all these Brajbhas songs. And then the gopis are there standing on the side and he starts dancing. Then he goes on his knees and like this with his feathers. Then Radharani comes and joins him and dances. And then they get close and Krishna takes the feathers and puts over Radharani and everybody goes, Jai Jai Shri Radha. Because inside of his peacock feathers is Radharani and Krishna. No one can see what they're doing underneath those peacock feathers. Ananda Kanda Bhagavan Ki. The peacock dance. So they said, please make you play something. Venam. Venam, the verse says, Venam Nara, then it says, Mata Mayor Nritya. Venu Anu. Venu Anu. It says that when the peacocks heard the Govinda Venu, it says, Govinda Venu Manu. Govinda Venu Anu Mata Mayora Nritya. Mata means mother. And when the peacocks heard the flute of Govinda, they went mad. Mata Mayora Nritya. And in that madness, they started dancing. Like you see people, they drink the Johnny Walker, then they really dance. The dance of a drunk. A madman's dance. Because mada, what does the word mada mean? It means drunk. It means intoxicated. It means mad. All these meanings are there. Mata or mada. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, right? We're all familiar with these things. Kam, krodh, lobh, moha, mada, matsarya, irsha, envy. Green with envy. Venu, Govinda Venu, they heard that and they were dancing madly all around Krishna in a circle. And Krishna was playing his flute and he was thinking, and Krishna became very happy seeing their dance. So then he started dancing with them. The original peacock dance. Then the peacocks became so pleased and satisfied by Krishna's exhibition, his singing, his playing the flute and his dancing like them, that they wanted to offer something out of gratitude. Oh, Govinda, you've pleased all of our senses. Govinda means one of Govindate. One who gives pleasure to the eyes and ears and body and heart and everything is Govinda. Oh, Govinda Venum, Matamayora Nirtyam. We become so mad by hearing your flute. We feel so joyful. We want to show our appreciation, our gratitude. We want to give you something. A love offering. What do we have? Do we have money? No. Do we have Govinda's Mahaprasad? No. We have feathers. Ha. Yes. Doing, doing, doing. They popped out some peacock feathers. Then Krishna, in the mood of a musician reciprocating with another musician. Oh, you're offering me this? I am pleased with your dancing. I'm very pleased. I accept your love offering. I accept your love offering and I'm going to put it right here to show how much I appreciate your service. See how much Krishna appreciates the service. A little service rendered, Krishna carries his appreciation on his head. A peacock rendered a little service of dancing. And Krishna, and they offered their love offering was a feather, patram pushpam phalam toyam. Where does it say feather in there? If one offers me a leaf, a flower, water, a feather, all those are pure things. Patram pushpam phalam toyam. Water is pure, leaf is pure, flower is pure, a peacock feather? So this is Krishna Kurukshetra, Aishwarya Mahi Bhagavan. He's preaching Aishwarya Mahi Bhakti. But Krishna Vrindavan, this is Madhurya Mahi Bhakti. Yeah, give me a feather, give me a piece of stool. Feather is contaminated. Yeah, give me a piece. You offered it with love, a piece of stool. Okay, look at this. He offered me this feather. See everybody? So this is how Krishna got the peacock feather. Now there's something other, but for the gopis there's some other thing going on here. When they say barha, they see Krishna's feather, they say barha pitam. There is a symbol on the peacock feather. There's some marking, which generally people say is the eye of the peacock. They say it's like so many eyes, like an eye. But in Shastra, it's described as Chandrika. Chandrika is like, it represents like a moonbeam. So there are two types of moonbeams. One is the Chandrika, from Chandra, a beam, a light of the moon. And another Chandrika is Krishna's fingernails and toenails. This is described in the Kam Gayatri. Krishna's Kaviraj Goswami is explaining in other acharyas, there are 24 and a half moons on Krishna's body. His parts of his body, they are moon-like, effulgent, soothing, attractive. His fingernails are compared to moons. Very shiny, beautiful. So when the Shastras describe the peacock feather, from the gopis' viewpoint, they're seeing that this marking on the peacock feather is not an eye. This is Krishna Naka Chandrika. Krishna Naka Chandrika. Naka means nail. This symbol marking represents the fingernails of Krishna. Because in amatory affairs, the marking, sometimes the lovers will mark each other's body with fingernail prints. Krishna is very expert in this, but Radharani is more expert. So she is known as Rati Keli Vidagdi. Krishna is known as Vidagda Madhav. He's very clever, expert in loving his devotees, especially the gopis. But Radharani is Rati Keli Vidagdi. Ananya Danya Kunja Kama Keli Kovade. Radha Kripa Kataksham. It's a glorification of Srimati Radharani. It's called Radha Kripa Kataksha. This is one line. Ananya Danya Raja Kama. He said, she Raja Kama Keli Kovade. Kovida means expert. Kunjaraja. Kunjaraja means Radharani is Nikunjeshwari. This is one of Radharani's names. It's Nikunja Bihari. You've heard of Nikunja Bihari? Jaya Radha Madhava. So there's something called Kunja, and there's also something called Nikunj, and there's a difference. And there's something called Nibrita Nikunj. So there's three types of Kunjas. So there's Nikunja Bihari, and then there's Nikunjeshwari. Radharani. Kama Keli Kovade, that she's very expert in Kama Keli, which means Rati Keli. She's Rati Keli Vidagdi. So she defeats Krishna. In this art, it is an art, an amatory art. Amatory means Shringar Ras, or love, amatory, amor. In this art, Radharani is most expert at making marks on Krishna's chest. When the gopis are seeing Krishna's peacock feather, they're saying, see that Nakachandra? So this is why Krishna's wearing the peacock feather. One reason he's wearing the peacock feather, to proclaim the glories of his devotees. If you offer even a little thing to me, I accept it with the utmost regard. And this is a point of bhakti. If someone gives a donation, oh, you only gave 5 rupees. Hey, what's this? You're worth, you can give a lakh. This is maya. Krishna is showing the example with the utmost regard, adhar, regard and respect. He's accepting the minutest offering. If anyone steps forward to offer anything to Krishna, 1 rupee, 1 pebble, 1 carrot, 1 matar, 1 pea, it should be accepted graciously, with love and appreciation. Because that's all a person has. In Vrindavan, all the temples, the 7 temples, have a little tray in front of the temple. It's a hundi box, and usually there's a small tray on that hundi box. And little old ladies come, and little old people come, and they beg something in a sabji market, and they come and they put 1 carrot, 1 little carrot they put there. They put 15 grains of gehun, put there. 10 grains of chaval. And they stand there, oh Damodar, please accept this offering. I know that bhakti prayachati, that you accept the devotion. I don't have any money. I do madhukari. I begged a little. I got some from the sabji market. They gave me little. I went to the grain market. They gave me a handful of grain. I'm offering. Please, you accept it. And Krishna gladly accepts it. If we distribute love, then everything will be successful. If you distribute power, you'll fail. Love above power, mercy above justice. Love above power, mercy above justice. There's no one more powerful than Narayan, but he lost his wife to beauty. He lost his wife to charm. He lost his wife in sweetness. Love above power. Krishna's love, his Madhurya Prem, is so attractive that Lakshmi said, goodbye Narayan, I'm going to Vrindavan. Love above power. Narayan is power. Krishna is love. Prem Purushottam. Love above power. Love is more powerful. Love is the strongest power. Mercy above justice. Justice is you kill this guy, you're going to be hung this afternoon. Then someone goes to the king and says, guess what? That guy's your cousin. Oh, that guy that's getting hung is my cousin? Hey, get off. Let him off the thing. Mercy above justice. That's our only hope. By justice, we're all, at least I'm a demon, but I'm only counting on the mercy of Gauranga. If it's only justice being distributed here, then I'm finished. I have no chance. But we count on the mercy principle. With no kripa, there's no progress. Krishna's accepting. But the real reason that Krishna, the actual reason, the rustic reason why Krishna wears the peacock feather on the very, 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 very top of his head. Because on the top of his head is a pagri, turban. And on the top of the turban is the Mayur Picha. Mayur Picha. Barha. Mayur. Mayur Picha. Top. Everybody can see from miles around. See this? This is my flag. The flag, you see the flag before you see the palace. You're riding across the desert. There's the flag. Way far away, there's the flag of the Jayapur King's palace. Then you get closer. Oh, there's the wall. There's the boundary wall. First thing you see is the flag. That's the first news. So that Krishna is wearing a peacock feather on his turban to proclaim to the world that Radharani is everything to me. Radharani is sitting on my head. She is my controller. And on this peacock feather are the fingernails of Radharani. Radha, Naka, Chandrika. See those? Those are not my fingernails. Those are Radha's fingernails. She defeats me in love. Therefore, Radhika Prema Guru, Ami Shishya Nat. Adi Lila chapter 4, verse 124. Krishna is saying, Radhika Prema Guru, Ami Shishya Nat. N-A-T means nritya, dance. Radhika is my Prem Guru. She's teaching me about Prem. This nail scratching is an aspect of love, intimate love, Shringaras. She's Vidagdi. Kamakeli Vidagdi. She's the most expert. She has PhD in Ratikeli. Triple PhD. I have undergraduate degree. I'm just studying. I'm enrolled in the school. This is what the peacock feather is telling. So naturally, when the gopis speak about Krishna, they're going to glorify Krishna in relationship to Radha. And that gives Krishna the greatest satisfaction. Whenever Krishna is glorified in relationship with his devotees, that gives him the greatest ulas. If you just say, Lord Chaitanya, 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 no happiness for Lord Chaitanya. But when you say, Sachinandan, Sachinandan. Because you are glorifying Lord Chaitanya in relationship with his mother, his greatest devotee in Vatsali Ras. Mother Sachi is Mother Yashoda. When you say Krishna, 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 he's not happy. When you say Nandulal, you're connecting me with Nanda Baba, I'm very happy. I'm the Lala. I'm the Lala of Nanda. Well, you're calling me Yashoda Dulal? I'm happy. Yashoda Nandan? Yashomati Nandan? This is nice. The gopis are glorifying Krishna, but in relationship to Radha. Oh, Krishna, you have that peacock feather. That's very nice. By that, you're proclaiming Radha's glories. So this is the first word here. We worship sweetness. We don't worship God. We worship sweetness. Everybody worships God except Gaudiyas. Ramanandis, everyone worships God. We don't worship God, we worship the sweetness in God. Madhurya Purushottam, Madhurya Vrindavan, Madhurya Leela, Madharam Samapayat, Leelam Madharam, Venam Madharam, Yamuna Madhara, Gopa Madhara, Hasitam Madharam. This is being revealed by Vallabhacharya and all of our Gaudiyas. He's not even Gaudiya. Vallabhacharya. We worship the sweetness, his sweet face, his sweet lips, his sweet gamanam, gamanam madaram. His walking is sweet. His venu madara, his venu is sweet, his face is sweet, his hasyam madaram. Hasyam madaram. His laughing is sweet. It's not like these demons in the Ramayana. You see Ramayana Mahabharata, some demon goes up. That is not sweet. That is not hasyam madaram. So what is this Madhurastikam telling us? It's telling that we Gaudiyas worship the sweetness. We worship the sweetness in God. And that's what makes life worth living. The sweetness of love. The sweetness is experienced in a loving relationship. No love, no sweetness. Natavaravapu. Natavaravapu. Why not only Natavara? Gaur Natavara. Gaur Nataraj. Krishna Natavara. Why are the gopis saying Natavara Vapu? Vapu means body, legs, arms, head, everything, fingers, eyes. Because Vara means excessive, very good. Govardhan. Very big, good, expanded. Natavara Vapu. Krishna's dancing, okay, we know Rasalila, Rasabihari, he's dancing. But the gopis are saying, Krishna's not only dancing, his body is dancing. Krishna's eyes are dancing. His eyebrows are dancing. When you go to these Rasalila performances, it's unbelievable. There's one, I used to go and see this one Krishna, and he would stand there and play his flute, look at the gopis, and he would make one eyebrow is like this. Another one would go up like this, like a lot. One eyebrow's like this, and then you go, whoop, whoop. Everybody's, he was looking at the gopis like this, then he would look at the audience, and everybody's, Haribo! Toot, toot. It's like very unbelievable control of the eyebrows, which is all movement. So Krishna, the gopis are saying, Krishna, your eyes are dancing and moving. Chanchalakshi. Chanchalakshi means your eyes are very restless. They're moving here and there. And your eyebrows are very restless, and your body is always dancing. Your Vaishyanti Mala is dancing. Every part of your body is dancing. But who taught you that dancing? Radhika Prem Guru, Ami Shishya Nath. Every part of Radharani's body is dancing in the dance of love. Gauranga Mahaprabhu has come to invite everyone in this universe to enter the Prem Mandala, the dance of love, Gauranga Prem Sangha. Come, put your hands above your head, forget everything. All your cares and worries and anxieties and obstacles and anarthas and aparads, forget it all. They are not you. They are not part of you. They're just dust on your jacket. You go like this. Hey, my jacket is... Oh, it's, ah, okay, good. It's nothing. Just because if you raise your arms, everything will fall off. Right? If you keep your arms like this, it's there. But you go like that, and it all goes down. Raise your arms and dance with me. Krishna told Arjun, give me your ears. I want your ears. Listen. Tat Srinu. Tat Srinu. Just listen. Gauranga didn't come with this idea. Gauranga didn't come with this message. He said, I want your body. Raise your arms, chant, and dance. This is Gauranga's mercy. So every part of Radharani's body is moving in a dance of love. Her eyes are described as like Kanchana. Kanchana means a wagtail bird. Her eyes are very restless. And when are Radharani's eyes most restless? At a particular junction of time. It's called Vaya Sandhi. Vaya Sandhi. Sandhi means conjunction or mixture. Vaya means age. When Radharani is transiting from childhood to adolescence, between 11 year 10 going into 11 12, then the girl's heart start, her body changes, her mind changes, her heart changes, and she starts to find out about something called B-O-Y-S. Boys. Boys. And then she feels some restless. So when she walks, usually she walk and just walk, but now with this restlessness in her heart, this chanchala, this some new interest is awoken, she starts looking like this. Oh, there's a boy. Oh. This is what is described, that Radharani's Kanchana, Kanchana Akshi, Chanchalakshi, very restless eyes due to the impulse of the rising of love in her heart. It's called Purva Rag. So the verses of the Veno Geet are all about Purva Rag, this awakening of love within the gopis. And Purva Rag, according to Ujjvala Nilamani, this desire, this attachment for the lover, and interest and yearning and anxiety and utkantita to meet the beloved, begins in the heart of the Nayaka. Not in the Nayak. Begins in the heart of the lady and the heroine. First comes there, and she feels Purva Rag, interest. Then Krishna, his Purva Rag comes a little later. So how did Krishna's Purva Rag come about? And it's a very interesting speciality about this verse, because this Purva Rag, all the gopis are experiencing this Purva Rag, mood of separation. They're separated. They have not met Krishna. They have not talked to him. They've seen him. They've seen paintings of him. They heard his flute. Not, they haven't heard his flute very much, but they've heard his glories and about him. Some past times he killed Agasura, he killed Bakasura, like this. The Mahima. Now, what about Krishna? Because when did his Purva Rag first come about? Oh, I was mentioning a speciality of Radharani's Purva Rag. All the gopis are feeling separation from Krishna. When will we meet this beautiful boy? How and where will we meet this beautiful boy? But Radharani, because she never thinks, she's never thinking of her own happiness or unhappiness, she's always thinking of Krishna. Even at this time, Purva Rag, Radharani, her Purva Rag, she was worried and she was concerned with, Krishna must feel so much separation from me. Krishna must feel unhappiness being separated from me. And that's what made Radharani feel Purva Rag. Radharani was identifying with the Purva Rag in the heart of Krishna. Krishna, he also wants to meet Radharani. When and how, I don't know. He's also very eager. And he's very attached to Radharani. And it's the prior love, the beginnings of love. Very sweet, very innocent, very tender, very attractive and charming. And Radharani can feel that heart. So then she feels, Radharani's Purva Rag is that she's feeling Krishna's separation from her. This is a speciality of the Purva Rag of Radharani. Very extraordinary. That's why she's Mahabhagavati. Mahabhagavati. She's Mahabhagavati. She's the personification of Mahabhagavati. So how did Krishna's Purva Rag become ignited? One night, after Krishna vanquished the Kaliya serpent, all the Brijvasis came there. Gwals, gopis, gwals, everyone. Cowherd men, Nanda Maharaj, Vrishabhanu, Kirtita, Sridham, everyone was there. They're all on the banks of the river. And they're very tired, exasperated. The ordeal that Krishna went through, 6-7 hours, he was in the coils of the serpent from 12 o'clock until sunset, right now in Jyeshtha Mas, this time of year, summer season. 6 hours playing in the water. It's okay to play in the water for 6 hours. When you're kids, you do it. You play in a lake, you play in the ocean, but play with 100 cobras? Play in the water with 100 cobras for 6 hours? That's your idea of fun? And all those cobras want to kill you at every second? That's your idea of fun? Not mine. So Krishna was having fun. But no one else knew that. It was his leela, he was dancing, he was having a great... Oh, wow! Whoa! Whew. They're really embracing me. Boy, I really don't want his embrace. I want to be embraced by Radha. But maybe that comes in the future. I will pray to Providence. I will pray to Providence that maybe in the future, as his snake is enwrapping me in his coils, I may be enwrapped by the beautiful serpentine arms of Radha. Of course, her arms are described as lotus stems. And Krishna's arms are described as bunjanga. Bunjanga. His arms are like serpents, powerful. Boa constrictor. This night was the first time that Krishna and the gopis were ever together, all of them in the same place. At night, late at night, everyone fell asleep, except the gopis and Krishna. Unbelievable setting. Mothers are there, everyone is there, and Krishna was sitting, everyone was sleeping, and Krishna was sitting like this on the banks of the Yamuna at Kaliagat. And he was looking at all the gopis. And the gopis were looking at him. And as Krishna looked at the gopis, there was one particular gopi that caught his attention. Because the intensity of her purvarag was his purvarag. And he looked at that one gopi. Then at that moment, his own purvarag, which was gradually somewhat, not very much developed like the gopis, but it became inflamed. It woke up and he became intensely mad for that particular gopi. And who was that particular gopi? Radha! At that moment when he made eye contact with Radharani on the banks of the Jamuna, after the Kaliya Leela, Damana Leela, then he was going mad. He said, I have to meet that girl. When will I meet that girl? Where? How will I meet that girl? How will I introduce myself? And then he thought, oh, I have to, maybe my flute will help me. My vamsi, my flute, I can use my flute. Maybe I can play my flute in such a way that I can attract those gopis, and especially that one, that Radhika. But I really don't, I'm not very good at the flute. I don't know how to play very well. I'm just a young boy. So then he had an idea. So then he told Mother Yashoda, he said, listen, I want to take the cows out every day. Hey, Lala, we have so many gwals to take out the cows. Why all of a sudden you're very interested in taking out the cows? All these years you're just playing, stealing makan, riding here, going here and there. No, I think I'm a Vaishya, it's my duty, it's my dharma. I should take out the cows. Lala, why are you so insistent? No, really. Is there something on your mind? No. I just want to go play with the coward boys and go charan leela and go with the coward boys and leapfrog and jump in the water after the frogs and follow the shadows of the birds and imitate the monkeys and all. I want to do all these things. Oh, that's nice. Okay, you go with Dal. You and Dal go together. The real reason Krishna was going out to the forest was not for Gocharan Leela. Cows don't need anybody to take them. You let the cow go, he'll go out to the forest all day, he'll pasture, he'll eat the grass, and come right back to the house with nobody. I grew up on a farm, I know. Same thing in Vrindavan. You let the cow go because you love him. Love is what attracts. Love is the most attractive thing. You love that cow, you're petting the cow, you're cleaning the cow. You say, hey, cow, here, the door is open, go out to the Jamuna bank, eat some grass. And then he'll eat, sleep, sit in the sun, talk to her girlfriends, chit-chat. You know, ladies always chit-chat. So all the cows are sitting on the bank of the Yamuna talking to each other and talking about their babies and husbands and whatnot. And then at the end of the day, they come right back. I've seen it with my own eyes. I've been at the bank of the Jamuna, a bunch of cows come. I say, where? Usually there's some old guy with a stick or something. But nobody. And then they're there all day, I'm there all day. They go home. So I followed them. They went like 5-6 together. They went in the streets to Vrindavan. One went inside this house. One went inside that house. I've seen with my eyes. I said, this is remarkable. But if there was no love in that house, I wouldn't come back. So Krishna doesn't need to take out the cows. He goes out every day with the cows. Why? So he can practice playing the flute in the forest. Why? Why doesn't he just stay home and practice in his room? Do you know the answer? No, you don't. He can go to it. His father has an entire theater. Nanda Maharaj has 55 rooms or 50 rooms, 56 rooms in his palace in Nandagram. And one room is called the Palace Theater. It has lighting, has a stage, has acoustics. Lighting? 5,000 years ago they had electricity. No. Yeah, sunlight. Sunlighting, moonlighting. There's a stage. And every night performers come and do acrobats and tell jokes and recite the history of the family, Puranic stories. So Krishna could go in there. It's very nice acoustics. No. He can't get the effect there. Because Krishna had an objective. He was learning how to play the flute. He wanted to master the flute for one reason. He wanted to enchant the gopis. He wanted to bewitch the gopis. He wanted to draw the gopis. Krishna means, the word Krishna means to draw, to pull, to attract. This is Krishna. So he's thinking, maybe I can become so expert with this flute playing that I can play such bewitching and enchanting melodies and ragas that I can attract the gopis to come out, somehow mystically and magically attract the gopis to come out of their houses, come to the forest and come right in front of me. Like jadu or hypnotism. See, look, you're becoming very, very sleepy. I don't have to do that, you're already sleepy. You're becoming very, very sleepy. Just listen to my words. You're very, very sleepy. Forget all your cares. Just focus on my voice. Then the guy's, oh. He's in a hypnotic trance. Now you say, listen, bark like a dog. Because I do that. I study psychology. We did hypnotism. You influence the subconscious by hypnotism. So Krishna wants to hypnotize the gopis. Houdini Krishna. And he wants to pull them with his flute. But how will he do it? You have to practice. First, when you're a tantric, you do little tantric. Make cups move or do little things. And then you do more austerity and you practice and do bigger things. Then you become a mahatantric. So Krishna went to the forest, which is described by the gopis in this chapter, and first he was practicing. He said, now, I think I'm pretty good at this. Now let me see if I can play the flute in such a way I can attract some living entity. So he played the flute. Ooh, ooh, ooh. And all of a sudden, the deer were pasturing very far away on some green grass by Govardhan. And the deer heard the sound of Krishna's flute. He said, what is that sound? Oh, what is that sound? Where is it coming from? It's coming from Govardhan. Let's go there. So the husbands and the wives, they ran there, mad, so thirsty after that sound. They're mad after that sound. And that's being told here. Right here. Randran Venoradara Sudha. Randran, it's easier here. You can see it says Randran. Randran Venoradara Sudha. This vibration of Krishna's Veno, this nectarian vibration is coming in waves. And the deer became attracted. They all ran around Krishna and they were looking at him. Yes, yes, you called us. Krishna says, wow. Hey. It worked. I enchanted the deer. They came to me. Oh. Well, that's, I attracted living entities. I wonder if I can attract non-living entities. So then he played his flute in such a way. Then the clouds came. There were no clouds. All of a sudden, clouds were in Rajasthan. The clouds came rushing to Braj. And all the clouds gathered over his head like an umbrella. He said, wow, this thing is amazing. It's like a magic wand. It's like a magic wand, a Shakti stick. This is the original Shakti stick, like the proverbial guru has. All my Shakti is contained in this stick, in this lati. I will tap you on the head and you will get all my power. Dong! Ow, 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 ow! Gurudev, ow! I didn't get nothing but a headache.
I didn't get anything but a headache. Ow, God. Okay, Trinada, please sneeze. So the original Shakti stick is Krishna's flute, and with that he attracts his Shakti, Radha. The flute, the Venu, is the original Shakti stick. He played it and he got his Shaktis. All his Shaktis. Sarva Shakti Mayi Radha. The clouds came. Then he played his flute. He sat by the Yamuna at Keshigad. He played his flute. Let me see what I can do with this water. Hey, wow! Look at the Yamuna. It's going this way to Mathura, but now it's going this way. It's going back to Yamunotri. God, this thing is amazing. This is just a piece of bamboo. A bansuri. Bansuri. You say bansuri. This was one paisa bansuri. Then Krishna, wow. Hey, I got it. I got the power. He got confidence. I think I'm going to try it. I'm going to try to call the gopis. He felt really confident. He called the clouds, the deer, the other things also, which are mentioned in this chapter, how he was practicing verse by verse and attracting and bewitching different living entities and non-living entities. Now he's ready for the big time. All of this flute practicing was only rehearsal, attracting the clouds and the deer and the water. This is only rehearsal to attract Radha. He wanted to meet Radha. He wanted to dance with Radha. He wanted to sing with Radha. He wanted to do everything with Radha. His Purva Rag was taking over him. His Purva Rag was seizing him. He was become captured, enslaved by his intense desire to be with that Radhika. I must have her. So Krishna's impassioned with Purva Rag, it's rising like a volcano about to erupt. Volcanoes. Spewing lava everywhere. Burning everything. He was burning with love for Radharani. And Radharani, you can imagine, because Radharani is identifying with Krishna's Purva Rag. Radharani is fully tanatmika with Krishna's Purva Rag. Oh, my lover, he's feeling so much separation from me. He's burning, he's dying. And then she was only identifying with Krishna's separation. She started burning with Krishna's separation from her. It's the most unusual vishesh guna of the prema of Radha. The other gopis weren't like this. The other gopis were feeling their own separation. Oh, I'm feeling, I want to meet that boy, Vishakalita. But Radharani was feeling Krishna's separation. Ashlishyavam paravatam panashtamam adarshanamamantam karotava yatatatavavanundramam. But Pranananta, she's, your happiness is my everything. You are my everything. Whatever you want, I want. If you're unhappy, I'm unhappy. If you're feeling separation from me, I'm feeling separation from me. Your separation from me. You're burning in separation from me. That burning is burning me. So Radharani was also burning intensely like no other gopi. So Krishna decided, yes, I must have Ras. Rasalila, I want to enjoy all the flavors of love with these gopis. I cannot wait anymore. So one special night, he went out and he played his flute. It's called Kling Shabda. Kling Shabda. The sound of calm beach. In Krishna's flute, vibration is the sound of calm beach. Kling. Kama is Cupid, Kandarpa, the god of love, the personification of love, Shringar Ras, erotic love. This Shabda, he sent, Kam, the Klim Shabda, he sent through his flute. Gopis heard the flute, they all ran, except one. And they all surrounded Krishna. Yes, we've been waiting for this moment. And Krishna says, yes, I've been waiting for this moment. Now the moment of truth has arrived. This is the real truth. When the devotee meets his Lord, this is the perfection of truth. As Gopakumara, when he embraced the Lord, that was the ultimate experience of truth. When you have a loving embrace of the truth, that is the ultimate experience of the truth.
Because the absolute truth is ultimately a person. And the ultimate experience of the absolute truth is a loving embrace in Sakiraz. It's a kiss and a loving embrace in Madhuriraz. It's a kiss on the cheek in Vatsaliraz. It's holding hands in Sakiraz. Or embracing also. It's told in Madhurya Kadambini. So the gopis were there. But Krishna was looking. It's always very nice. I'm so happy you've come. But he was a little shy because this is the first time he had ever met any girls intimately like this alone. He was on the bank of the Yamuna after Kali Yuga. There were so many chaperones there. His father, his mother, his older brother. Now it's only Krishna. This was his first outing. He's like a little nervous. Like, oh, gee, so many gopis? I really only wanted one. Then all of a sudden, Purnamasi comes running. Oh! Krishna, Krishna! Help, help! Purnamasi, Yogamaya personified, she came running to Vamshivat. Oh, Krishna, come, come! Whoa. What happened? Radharani's in Nikunj. She's fainted. She's gone unconscious in the Nikunj. She's fainted on the ground. She's barely breathing. She's just quivering. Her heart is palpitating. Her whole face is covered with perspiration. Her hair is all soaking wet, stuck on her shoulders. She's lying there. And some Sakhi Mandris, Palidasi Mandris, they're fanning her with some banana leaves and some lotus leaves that they've dipped in the Yamuna, and they're fanning with some moist lotus leaves, like air cooler type, trying to cool her down. You must come and revive her, because when you played your flute, Randran Vainor, Randran Vainor, says here, Randran. Randran Vainor. When you fill the halls of your flute, Krishna Adhara Sudha. Sudha means nectar, sweet juice. Sudha means nectar, sweet juice. Adhara. What sweet juice? What nectar? From your Krishna Adhara. Vainor Adhara means your lips are kissing that flute and sending out that nectar. When that nectar, that Vainu, Adhara Sudha, entered Radharani's ears, she completely fainted on the spot. All the other gopis ran out to meet you. But you must revive her. So Purnamasi brought Krishna to Nikunj. And he was standing there outside in Nikunj, and he said, what do you want me to do? You should go inside. No, but I'm a little shy. Who's in there? She's by herself. Not sure. Because Krishna is inexperienced. This is Purva Rag. This is the first meeting. We had the first meeting of Gaur Nitai. This is Radha Krishna Pratam Milan. Radhikasham Pratam Milan. This is the very first meeting of Radha and Krishna intimately. A moment that they've been waiting for their entire lives, from Gokul and Ravel to Chatikar and Ral, and from there to Barsana and Nandagram. Finally, it's happening. So Purnamasi says, no, come in. And Purnamasi pulled him inside Nikunj. He was like, And then Purnamasi said, do something. Put your... Touch her. Touch her face. Okay, well, at least put your foot on her heart. If your foot, just put your foot on her heart. And he said, no, I can't do that. I don't know. I'm shy. And Krishna was feeling so shy, and so then Purnamasi was thinking, maybe he's shy because I'm here. Maybe it's time for me to take a powder. Exit stage right. Purnamasi's thinking, so Purnamasi could understand. Okay, so she left. So now it's Krishna and Radharani. But this is her first meeting. So Radharani, when she smelled the fragrance of Krishna's body, then she opened her eyes. Then she sat up on the flower bed. Then Krishna sat next to her, a little bit far. And they were sitting like this. Radharani was here and Krishna was here. Radharani on his left. So they were both sitting like this, and Radharani's looking. It's the first meeting. So tender, so innocent, so shy. So Krishna, because now his Purvaraga is flaming like... So then he thought, he lifted his arm and very slowly and carefully picked it up like this, and he put on just like spaceship landing, you know, just like looking out like this. And then it came on just touching Radharani's shoulder. He's like, to see what would happen. He was feeling the waters, or whatever they say, testing the waters, as they say, to see what the response would be. And then Radharani was sitting there. Oh, and Radharani, she moved away, and Krishna's arm. Oh, Krishna took his arm away from Radharani, off her shoulder. Then he thought, well, that didn't work. Maybe that was too forward. So then Krishna said. He was thinking, because Purnamasi, I mean, Prem personified within his heart, inspired him to do all these things. Prem, actually Radharani's Prem, Radhika Prem Guru. So Radharani's Prem in his heart inspired him. So that didn't work. So then Krishna started, he said, oh Radharani, let me tell you a joke. So that didn't work. So then finally, somehow or other, Krishna broke the ice with Radharani, and now they spent their first night together. This was the first meeting, Sanket, of Radha and Krishna. All these ideas are contained in this verse. Prabhupada gives some indication in its purport, actually. He mentions some of the same points. We can appreciate how sweet it all is. And some points we can draw in terms of philosophy from this particular point. Randran Venor Adhara Sudayapurayan. The Krishna filled the Randran, the holes of his flute, with the nectar of his mouth, of his lips. So this nectar, this juice of Krishna is available everywhere at all times. The nectar is always flowing, the Suda. Prabodhananda Saraswati wrote one book in glorification of Radharani called Radha Ras Sudha Nidhi. Nidhi means treasure, ocean, or unlimited treasure house of nectar of Radha Ras. So Krishna is offering the living entities the nectar of his flute at all times. And we can dance in the waves of that nectar. As the gopis, they heard that flute and they ran to Krishna to dance. And the rasa dance. So Krishna, we can receive the nectar, the sweet juice, as they say, the sugar candy sweetness of Krishna's form, qualities, name, and pastimes. We can receive those with our ear holes and with our hearts, depending on our capacity, depending on our adhikar, how thirsty we are. You can drink according to your thirst, Krishna. You can take as much Krishna according to how much Krishna you have. Krishna means thirst, and Krishna means the sweet nectar flow of Krishna. So Krishna is sending his sweet nectar flow to everyone in the Mahamantra. Krishna's flute is there, his nectar. The nectar of Krishna's lips is in the Mahamantra. That nectar flow. But there's something blocking the flow. Our ears are plugged up. We're not catching the flow of Krishna's nectar. But all this sweetness is available to us if we surrender. And as we make advancement, then the same Krishna looks differently. And the same prasadam tastes differently. And the same Mahamantra sounds differently and reacts within us differently. And we begin to taste the sweetness of Krishna. Krishna consciousness is all about tasting. Tasting sweetness. Because the material world is very bitter, very sour. Sometimes they say it is bitter sweet. Okay, the material world is bitter and sweet. 99% bitter and 1% sweet. I admit it, there is some sweet. But basically the experience, the overall experience of the material world is bitter. Old age, bitter. Disease, bitter. Anxiety, bitter. Frustration, bitter. Unfulfillment, lack of fulfillment, bitter. Rejection, bitter. So much bitterness there. But Krishna is an ocean of sweetness. Krishna is sweetness personified. Gopis are relishing the sweetness of Krishna in this verse. And the acharyas are distributing it to us. And we are acting as mailmen to pass on the sweetness that they've revealed. It's all about the gopis' hearts. It's all about the gopis' bhav. So to hear about the gopis' intense attachment and attraction to Sri Krishna, some coloring comes in our heart. The word rag means color. The word rag means attachment. So our hearts, purva rag, prior attachment. First, our hearts must be colored. Some color must come in our heart. The color of eagerness to be with Krishna. The color of appreciation of Krishna's beauty. A genuine appreciation of Krishna's beauty. And a color of gratitude for the sweetness that the Lord has given us. Krishna, you have given me some sweetness. There are some drops of bhakti ras coming. One cannot go forward without some, it's called bhakti abhas. It is similar to bhakti. So even in karma mishra bhakti, gyan mishra bhakti, all these different types of impure bhakti that we may be practicing, there are some drops of bhakti ras. That is what's driving us on. That is what's pushing us forward. When we hear the Rasakatha, how do we increase our thirst for Krishna? By always hearing about the feelings and moods of thirsty devotees. The gopis are so thirsty for Krishna, and their thirst, their intense thirst and lobe, prem lobe, their greed to attain Krishna, serve Krishna, is contained in all these Gitas of the 10th canto, which Prabhupada gave us in 1969. Veno Git, Brahmar Git, Pranaya Git, Yuga Git, all these different chapters. And Viraha Git, where the gopis are speaking out their hearts. Their hearts are full of thirst, eagerness to love Krishna and serve Krishna. And that's what we need. We need more eagerness. Utsaha. Enthusiasm means eagerness. Utsaha. Eagerness to love Krishna. To surrender once and for all. To dedicate absolutely to Krishna. No more hanging around. No more dragging our feet. Get on with it. 10 years, 5 years. The ocean of nectar, the ocean of sweet nectar is flowing in every direction. Just catch the wave. Catch the wave and ride it. Like the surfers on the ocean, they catch the wave and they ride it. 5 minutes, 3 minutes, depending on the break, where it is. The waves of Krishna's sweetness are, the atmosphere is saturated with it. The kirtan, the Bhagavad class, the kirtan, the prasad, the deities, the seva, the devotees. Harikatha is the sound of Krishna's flute. Harikatha is the sweet form of Krishna. Harikatha is the sweet prema of Krishna. And someday, you all may realize it. Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.